I'm Olivia Hemstraat. This week's special offer is a three-part series titled Our Faith, the Holy Ghost, and Speaking Words. Simply go online at mhgs.org to download. All messages are brought to you, free of charge, by the members of the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society and the partners of Andrew Hemstraat Ministries. Thank you for joining us.
The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with Him by saying words. I'm glad you can join us. For the past several years, I have been preaching about Holy Ghost worship. I've been preaching about worshiping the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. I hear it all the time online. People will make comments or something, and it's like they have completely no idea what I'm talking about. What that says to me is that there's a lot more that needs to be said, where we have a long ways to go. So when I say Holy Ghost worship or worshiping the Holy Ghost, so many people don't even hear what I just said. They hear what they think I just said. They have an idea that's already in their head, so that when I present to them the idea of worshiping the Holy Ghost, they already go to a rabbit hole, and they already have a doctrine and an indoctrinated thinking that doesn't allow them to go there. It literally blocks them from going to the place of worshiping the Holy Ghost. They think it's something completely different. So I'll say one thing and they'll think I said something else, or it'll register in their mind as something completely different, frankly, what they want me to have said. I don't know if that makes sense to you. But when I say I worship the Holy Ghost or worshiping the Holy Ghost, I don't mean the song portion of the service. I'll say, well, you got to worship the Holy Ghost, and they'll say, oh, I love Holy Ghost worship. I mean, I love that part where we do all the singing. Or some of the people that might think they're even more advanced would say, oh, you mean the part where, you know, the organ just plays on one chord and everybody starts to speak in tongues together? Yo, I love that part. Holy Ghost worship. No, that might be worshiping in the Holy Ghost or worshiping by the Holy Ghost, but I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about worshiping by the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about worshiping in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about actually worshiping the living God, who is the Holy Ghost. So when I say worshiping the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about worshiping the Holy Ghost. Now, I hope I'm making that clear. It is one reason I believe that the Holy Ghost gave me those words. He said, use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean, I mean, you could use it in a song, I suppose, but if you can't really veer from that, if you actually use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, then you're doing what I've been talking about. If you aren't using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, then you aren't doing what I'm talking about, and you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. And it wasn't too long ago the Holy Ghost said if they knew me as God, they would worship me. The problem is most people don't know him as God. They know him as the power of God, the Spirit of God, something that's going on maybe in a service that doesn't go on in another service. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing the Holy Ghost as God and then worshiping him as God and using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, because you're God in the earth today. Now, it shouldn't be that difficult, but it is, like I said, because people's religious tradition and they're they've been indoctrinated in a way that does not allow them to go there. You want to try it out? I'm telling you, you go, and if you haven't been doing this, you go and you say and use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, and see what happens. Your doctrine is going to freak out. But if you continue down that line, because you can understand that by the scriptures, I've been preaching on this for years now, the scriptures specifically call the Holy Ghost God, and that he is the living God, and that we're supposed to worship the living God. And when you start to actually do it, he'll begin reordering your thinking, and he'll renew your mind to where you can actually walk with the Holy Ghost, who is the living God in the earth today, and that's what I'm talking about. So, using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, will correct all of those weird thinkings. And I'm telling you, it's weird. People get weird over it. No, they're weird already, but then they think I'm saying something that I'm not. I'm specifically saying that you worship the Holy Ghost, not by the Holy Ghost worshiping something else. Not some kind of worked up thing in a service where, oh, now we're in Holy Ghost worship. No, I'm specifically talking about worshiping the living God, who is the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. So, I hope I'm getting this across. I realize sometimes, you know, I hear it in the way people say things, or some of the comments that I get. They're just not getting it, and it's because their doctrine is blocking them off from it and won't let them go there. But that's why you've got to use those words and break down that wall. You know, the Bible says that when the veil's taken away, then the Lord is that Spirit. The Spirit is Lord, and there's liberty. You begin to see things differently. Anyway, so if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Frankly, that's not my message. I just feel that I need to correct that so much, because it seems like a foreign concept in the body of Christ that you should worship the Holy Ghost. And yet he's the one with whom we have to do. He's the one who's God in the earth today. He is the living God. We should worship him. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's pray. Holy Ghost, I worship you. I thank you that you are God in the earth today. I thank you that I can walk with you as God in the earth today and be your temple, and you can live with me and I can live with you, and it's a great fellowship that we have together. I worship you as God, and I ask you to help the people that hear this message to know you as God and begin worshiping you as God. In Jesus' name, amen. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I don't know if I said that yet, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's go all the way to the end. This is the last thing that we have recorded that Paul or the Holy Ghost said to the Corinthians. You can understand that, right? It's the last verse. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody, I'll be good with that. Yes, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? He came and he bought a salvation for you. He paid the price, right? And through grace we are saved. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's already here and now. And the love of God. Most people wouldn't have a problem with the love of God. And the what? Said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't necessarily just mean taking communion. It means close, intimate fellowship and relationship with. It's the Greek word koinonia. It means living together. Living together with God the Father. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, the love of God, and the close, intimate, living with, fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Who in this verse of Scripture, the last thing that he said to the Corinthians, who is Paul telling these people they're going to have close fellowship and relationship with? The Holy Ghost. Why? He's the one that's in the earth. He's the one with whom we have to do. He is a person. You don't have close, intimate relationship with a thing. He is a person. He's a divine person. He is the Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? This really isn't even my message. He is the one with whom we have to do. He's the one that Jesus sent. Do you know that? I won't have you turn there, but in John 14, 16, Jesus said he's going to send another one. He said, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and when I go away, I'm going to send another one like me, another one that you can have. See, they had close, intimate fellowship with Jesus, and then he went away and sent another one that they could walk with, live with. Do you understand? Holy Ghost is the one that Jesus sent. He's the another comforter. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Now when? Now in our day and age, the Lord is that Spirit, or the Spirit is Lord, and where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty and there is freedom. Who is the Lord? The Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He is God in the earth today. Jesus isn't in the earth. The Father isn't in the earth. They sent, is this too hard to understand? They sent the another. They sent, the Father and Jesus sent someone. Holy Ghost, where is he? He's in the earth. He's the one that we have to do with. He's the one that we have intimate fellowship with. He is God in the earth today, and we should worship him. And when I say worship the Holy Ghost, that's what I'm talking about. Worshiping him, the God that's in the earth today, and use those words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. That sounds strange. It sounds strange because of your doctrine that you've been brought up that somehow didn't include that. You've heard all the things that I've said before, but you didn't carry them to the degree where he is God, I should worship him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 14 says, all these worketh that one. Salvation is worked by that one. That one who? The Holy Ghost. All the gifts of the Spirit, all the things that are done in the earth today are done by that one and self-same Spirit as He wills. Who's God in the earth today? The Holy Ghost. This is a massive revelation. And when I say the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with Him by saying words, I'm not just making that up. That took a long time to get to, but it's where we are, it's who we are, it's where we stand, it's how we live. I hope you understand that. He's the one with whom that all these things worketh that one. It's His dispensation from the time that Jesus left and sent the Holy Ghost into the earth until the time that Jesus returns. It is the Holy Ghost's dispensation. That means it's His time, it's His age. He's the one with whom we have to do, and we worship Him. And when we worship Him, we will be able to go farther and better, and frankly, we won't be able to complete what we're called to complete if we keep holding on to this religious garbage that keeps us from this relationship with the Holy Ghost. Is this making sense? So we walk with Him by saying and speaking in agreement with His words. Amos chapter 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And we know this. All of these things that I've just said and more are available online. You go to mhgs.org and you can download all of these messages, and you can listen to them and explain them all much better. I've been preaching on this for several years now, and it just dumbfounds me when I run into people who just have a wall up immediately that block that. If you say, I use the words, I worship You, Holy Ghost, I worship the Holy Ghost, that's like, it's like so foreign to them. But to me now, because I've gone down this road, I've thoroughly searched it in the scriptures, and I've applied it to my life, and I use those words all the time. It's just so strange to me that they're so religiously indoctrinated in the direction they're going that they can't see that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. Then how are they going to walk with Him by saying words? Predominantly, I worship You, Holy Ghost, should be some of the first words that come out of your mouth, right? Are we not the temple of the living God? Yes, of course we are. Go to second. Let's go to believe it's 2 Corinthians here. Hallelujah. I'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of who? The Holy Ghost. You'd swear that people didn't know that they're walking around with the Holy Ghost. Although they think that the Holy Ghost isn't necessarily God, He's just sort of a force of, you know, maybe particles of God somehow. Here it says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify or magnify or increase God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Holy Ghost is God. He's in you. You should glorify Him. Now it says you're the temple of God. Now what do you suppose a temple of God is for? Well, you would go to the temple of God to worship God, right? So if you are the temple of God, what should the first thing you be doing? You should be worshiping God first and foremost. God who? God the Holy Ghost, who's in the temple. Are you getting this at all? I hope so. So He's the one with whom we have to do. He's the one we have communication with. You should have communication with Him if He's what? In your temple. Right, He's there, He's the one. So worshiping Him increases His ability and His favor to do things for you. Now, you can't walk with God unless you're speaking in agreement with His word. Do you know that? I said Amos chapter 3:3. Let's go to Acts, the book of Acts. And we'll see here on the day of Pentecost, the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost came into the earth. You think, okay, well, here's the Holy Ghost when he came in, which means he must not have been here in that capacity, because he came, right? Jesus sent him. And so he came into the earth, and he's going to now fill his temple being the people that were receiving him. And then he's, in order for them to walk with him, they need to walk with him by speaking in agreement with his word. Do you understand this? So the Holy Ghost has this idea from the beginning of time, this is what I'm going to do when I go there. He could have chose some other method, he didn't, but when he came in, let's see what happened. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from where? From heaven. So he came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Each of them. Every single one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began. It didn't say they ended, it said this was the beginning. Holy Ghost came in and they began to what? Speak. They began to speak with other tongues. What? What's the very next verse? As the Spirit gave them utterance. Genius, beyond genius. The Holy Ghost knows that the way for him to be able to walk with you and to speak things in agreement, that you have to speak in agreement with him, and for you to walk with him, you have to speak in agreement. He's going to come, and the first thing he does is give you words to say. And the Bible calls that the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of the Holy Ghost dispensation, the beginning of you walking with the Holy Ghost speaking words. Are you getting this? Is tongues, speaking in tongues, important? Yes, it's hugely important. The Bible calls it the beginning. They began. Well, I don't know if I'd call it the beginning. Well, let's look and see at some other verses here. Let's look in Acts chapter 11. We'll go back to some of that. Go to Acts chapter 11. Let's look at verse 12. Acts chapter 11, verse 12. This is Peter talking. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname name is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I, this is Peter speaking, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us, what? At the beginning. Here's Peter, the Apostle Peter, said that the beginning was when the Holy Ghost fell on them and they began to speak. Well, let's look back up here. It says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Am I lying to you? Did Peter say this was the beginning? We just read that in the book of Acts. At the beginning. Look back at Acts chapter 10. Where he's still talking about this situation. Verse 44, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. How did they know the Holy Ghost came? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That is the beginning. The Bible calls it the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of receiving the Holy Ghost and walking with the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today. Now, here he says that they, verse 46, for they heard them. Now, in order for them to hear them speak, what must they have done? They must have spoke out loud. You could hear it. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What does magnify mean? You ever have a magnifying lens? What does it do? Oh, it burns ants. Well, maybe, but it does other things. You're able to see things. It enlarges things. It expands things. It draws a focus on something. Look what it says. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify, increase, enlarge, expand. Expands the influence of God. It draws a focus on God. God who? Some of you who know would know exactly what I'm going to say. Some of you who have been religiously indoctrinated still are not going to get it. The fact is, speaking in tongues should magnify God in you, should enlarge the influence of God, the Holy Ghost, in you, and should do that and draw focus on the Holy Ghost, who's God in you, to the point of worshiping Him. But your doctrine has cut you off from it. I'm telling you, Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost should lead you to worshiping the living God, who is the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. Ha 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 ha. Some people aren't gonna like that. Some people don't like me. But I don't care, because the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. And when I pray in tongues, He's being enlarged, He's being magnified. I hope you're getting this. According to my gospel, every believer should speak in tongues and use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. You could do them in either order. You could know that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today and worship Him and then speak in tongues. And I've got so much more to say on these things. But let's focus on the speaking in tongues part. A lot of people think that that is some huge revelation when the Bible calls it the beginning. Some people in some denominations and churches, and you know what I'm talking about, they'd be like, oh, you speak in tongues, that's so advanced. That's very, very advanced. Someday I hope that I could one day maybe possibly speak a tongue for a half of a second. The Bible calls it the beginning. Then you've got the flip side of that same coin, where you got people that speak in tongues think they are so advanced. I'm so advanced because I speak in tongues and you don't. Both of those are wrong. Speaking in tongues is a vehicle. It's the first thing the Holy Ghost did, genius, to enable you to speak His words into the earth and to advance with your relationship with Him as God in the earth today. Do you understand? So speaking in tongues should lead you, should lead you to worshiping the Holy Ghost. The problem is, most people's doctrine blocks them from that, so their speaking in tongues has to go around that. In fact, you have to have, and I'm telling you this because I have had religious instruction and indoctrination that blocked me from it, and I got around that. But you have to have religious instruction and indoctrination for it to not lead you to worshiping the Holy Ghost. He is God. He came into the earth. He has a personality. He speaks words. He has a will. He does all of these things. He's God in the earth today. For you not to acknowledge Him as God and worship Him is, you've been religiously brainwashed to go in some wrong direction. Isn't this fun? He is God in the earth today, and we are to magnify Him. So, in order to walk with God, we have to do what? we speak words. Some of the words you should use, you should worship God. You are the temple of God. Get with the program. If you are the temple of God, you should be worshiping God. Who is God? He's the Holy Ghost. He's the one Jesus sent. He's God in the earth today. You should use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. See, there's no wiggle room around those words. It shows you how profound it is that God would say those things and say, you should use these words. Use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. There's no wiggle room around it. You can't decide that worship is something else. No, you use words and you say, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Anyway, so in order for us to walk with God, we had to have a change in our speaking. What's the first thing at the beginning? The Holy Ghost came into the earth and they began to speak differently, right? And it's no great big thing. I mean, it is a great big thing, but it's not some great thing that's insurmountable. It's literally the beginning. We begin from there. Just like a baby would begin by saying Abba Dabba or whatever, he begins to learn more words and he begins to be able to enunciate things in the spirit. But in order to walk with God is by speaking words. He gives us the words to speak. You see how this is a great idea? The Holy Ghost said this. He said, I'm going to come into the earth and this is how I'm going to make it work. I don't see how you could possibly make it work, Holy Ghost. He says, well, what I'll do is I'll go in, and because they have to speak in agreement with me for things to happen, I'm going to go in and I'm going to give them the words to speak that they don't even understand. Isn't this great? It's the Holy Ghost's idea. So in order for him to do anything in the earth, he must have words spoken. You do know this, right? I have more messages on this on faith online, mhgs.org. You can go down and download those messages on faith. But the point is, God has to have words to work with in the earth. So his genius, again, is to come in and give you the ability to speak his words. In order for him to do anything in the earth, he must have words spoken, right? His words spoken. In order for him to do anything for you, listen to this preacher. In order for God the Holy Ghost to do anything for you, he must have words spoken. He must have his words spoken. He's not going to change the system for you, right? He must have words spoken to do anything in the earth. That's how he started everything, created everything. Now he's going to give you the ability to speak his words. Again, the genius of being able to speak in other tongues. In order for him to do anything for you, he must speak words, or you can speak those words. He can speak those words through you. Are you getting this? So go to 1 Corinthians. Glory be to God forever. First Corinthians, let's look at chapter 2. It's one of my favorite books, favorite chapters. First Corinthians chapter 2, and let's just go down to verse. Oh goodness. Let's look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Right? We've received the spirit of God. That would be the Holy Ghost. You understand this? What happened when they received the Holy Ghost? They began to speak words as he gave them utterance. So they were his words and they began to speak his words. Remember I said, and he can't do anything for you unless his words are spoken. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God. So God has all of these things that he wants to freely give to you and has already freely given to you, but you don't know them yet. Look what he says. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God. Now, if we're going to know the things freely given to us, the things freely given to us, we've received the Spirit of God. What happened when we received the Spirit of God? We began to speak. so we can know the things. Look what he goes on to say here. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. What things are we speaking? The things that are freely given to us of God. Are you getting this? When you speak in tongues, it's God's method for him to get things over to you. And if you don't speak the things, he can't get the things over to you. You have to speak the whole thing out. The problem is people are not speaking in tongues enough to get the whole thing out. You know, if I had to speak out the design of this microphone here, and I only wanted to speak about the grill part, all you would end up with is the grill and a microphone that's dysfunctional. It wouldn't function, it wouldn't work, it wouldn't do it, but I would need to speak out the entire design for it to work. Say the entire design. See, because people aren't speaking enough until the Bible says they began to speak. Beginning was the beginning, which means there had to be a continuing, and frankly there's an end to it. Once you fully speak it out, that's it. Are you getting this? But here we see this is God's method to get things over to you. God who? God the Holy Ghost. He's God in the earth today. You walk with him by saying words. He gives you, literally gives you the exact words to speak. You just need to speak them out. The things. He says, which things also we speak, verse 13, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Where'd you get these words from? The Holy Ghost is teaching you these words. Not man's wisdom, Holy Ghost wisdom. We're speaking the wisdom of God. Look up at verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom. Are you still here? Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world. When did he ordain this? Yeah, people say, how do you know that the Holy Ghost came up with this method? Right here it says he ordained this method before the world unto our glory. Speaking in tongues unto our glory. Not I spoke in tongues once, but continuing to speak unto our glory. Now there's a verse of scripture that says from glory to glory. You understand? So we go from one glory we speak to the next glory we speak. I hope you're getting this. So these are the things that we speak, and this is the way the Holy Ghost teaches us, is by speaking in agreement with him. It is his number one method of provision. Let me say that again. It is God's number one method of provision, is to speak in agreement with his word. Right? We know that we can take verses of scripture and speak them into our life, but we can also speak even more accurately by the Holy Ghost speaking exact words, and we get better and better at it, into our life, and he's able to do these things. Is this making sense? We're speaking things. It's his number one method. I hear people all the time, they say, God help me, God help me. Well, he is the helper. Jesus called him the helper. That's another word for comforter. I'll send you another comforter. I'll send you another helper. God help me. What's his method? What's his number one method by which he helps you? Is when you speak in agreement with him, he is helping you. When you speak in other tongues, he is helping you. It's his method. Are you getting this? Well, anyway, I hope you're having a lovely time. Now, it's in the same way, and we won't go there, but Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28 says, all things work together for good for me. And people can say, all things work together for good for you, even the bad and the ugly. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the end result. Listen, the end result of speaking in tongues, meaning the end result, meaning I've spoken to the end about this particular situation, the end result of that is all things work together for good for me. All things work together for good for me. I can say that because I've spoken in agreement with God enough to know and to come to verse 28. Are you getting this? We're almost done. So, speaking in tongues requires no particular talent, but simply a willingness to speak as He gives you the utterance. You got to know about it first. Remember, faith comes by hearing. So I'm preaching and faith comes. You should have more faith now in speaking in tongues than you might have had before, right? Speaking in tongues requires no particular talent, but simply a willingness to speak. Nobody can make you speak, right? Speak, speak, speak. Nobody can make you speak. Speaking tongues requires no particular talent, but a willingness to speak as He gives you utterance. Not saying what you want to say, but learning how to speak in tongues as He gives you utterance. Now, I'll also put in here, and continuing to speak. A lot of people think, and I know this is taught wrongly in many Pentecostal circles, where once you've received the Holy Ghost, that's it. You know, maybe every once in a while in some kind of a meeting, you might be inspired, you know, in the worship section of the meeting, where, and it comes on you again. That's not how it works. He's always, always, always giving you a flow of the Spirit. The Bible calls it a river and a well springing up. Rivers are flowing all the time. So He gives you the utterance and you continue to speak. The Bible says the beginning. Remember Acts chapter 2 verse 4. They began to speak. It didn't say they stopped. They began. It was a beginning. And I showed you that it was the beginning. Are you getting this? So there has to be a willingness to speak until. This is the part where you lose everybody. What do you mean, a willingness to speak until? A willingness to continue to enunciate the syllables that the Holy Ghost is giving you until you have the thing that you're speaking. It's His method of bringing things to you. Hello, this is the Holy Ghost method. He came up with it from the beginning of time, from the foundation of the earth. I'm going to come into the earth and give them the ability to speak words. Now you simply have to continue to speak them until the thing is manifest. And that's where people fall off, because they don't want to put any effort into it. It takes time. Speak until the manifestation of the thing desired shows up, right? When you speak, you have. If you stop speaking, you don't have. And then there's the transformation of you. So second, we're in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Who's the Lord? That Spirit. And where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom, there is liberty. But we, who's we? That's me. We means me. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. And that word change is the word metamorphosis. Everybody knows what that means, right? Changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How's the Spirit of the Lord going to do it? He must have words. So for you to be changed from one glory to the next, you must speak words. Metamorphosis. What does that make you think of? A caterpillar, a butterfly. Yeah, that's right. So what do? In order to be changed, they have to separate themselves. They go close themselves off somewhere, right, in a cocoon. And then they're in there for a period of time until until the transformation takes place. So we need to be speaking in tongues until we have to stay in the presence of God and worshiping the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues until we're changed from one glory to the next glory, and then we do it again to the next glory. Is this making sense? We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. One glory, we're not going backwards, we're going forwards. We're changed into a greater you. Go to Romans chapter 12, I'll try to end here. Right before Corinthians. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, God's having mercy on you, that you present your body. Remember, we talked about that earlier. What is your body? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to present my body. What am I going to present my body to? I'm going to present my body to God the Holy Ghost as his temple. Now, let me ask you, what's one thing you should do if you do present your body to God the Holy Ghost as his temple? Holy Ghost, you are God, and therefore I worship you. I'm your temple. That's what I do. It's my thing. What's your thing? My thing is worshiping the Holy Ghost. Why is that? Because I'm the temple of God the Holy Ghost. You getting this? And I use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Not only that, but let's read on here. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. God who? God who? It would have to be. It would have to be God the Holy Ghost, because you're presenting your body to him. Right? Which is your reasonable service. It's a service that you're performing to God when you worship him. Right? Another translation says spiritual worship. It's your worship when you present your body to him. Now, there is one particular part of your body that is part of your body, remember, that you're supposed to present to God. And it's over and over in the scriptures. One particular part that he's very interested in. And that's the part that he was the most interested in, right? On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came in, he filled them, and they all quivered their hands like this. Woo! Especially when they really liked the worship song, it was like this. And if it was a song they didn't like so much, it was like this. And then if it was a song that they really didn't know or like, it was more like this. Are you here? No, but the Holy Ghost came into the earth, and what part did he quicken? Their tongues. That's the part you present to the Holy Ghost first and foremost. Obviously, there are other parts of your body, but you're presenting your tongue to him. What was the beginning? They began to speak with other tongues. So you're presenting your body to him, the tongue, and you're not conformed to this world, but verse 2, be ye transformed. How's this going to happen? By presenting your body, by presenting your tongue, you will be transformed, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you are going to prove the good will of God, you're going to have to speak it out. If you're going to prove the acceptable will of God, you're going to have to speak it out. And it takes longer than the good will of God. Are you here? And if by some reason some of you want to prove the perfect will of God, it's going to take a commitment to speak out the perfect will of God, and he'll be able to do it in your life, and you'll be transformed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, that he may live in you and walk through you. So, are you getting this? People don't think that this is that important. Oh yeah, I spoke in tongues once. Yabba 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 yabba. It was not that important. They don't understand. Nor do I think they really know the Holy Ghost. Do you think that God thinks this is important? the first thing he did, and I've been showing you scriptures on this, it's how he does things. It's how he gets things that are given to you over to you. You have to speak them fully. So do you think this was important to the Holy Ghost? This is the first thing he's going to do when he got here. Wouldn't you do that? Let's say you've been thinking about something, you're going to go on vacation, and all you can think about is going scuba diving. That's all you can think. What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to get there and go scuba diving, right? Holy Ghost speaking words into the earth. So do you think God thinks this is important? Yes. You think the Holy Ghost thinks it's important? Obviously. Should you think it's important? And if you think it's important, should you put some effort into it? Should you put some time into it? I'm telling you, you can't get to the acceptable and perfect will of God without putting the time in to speak his words into the earth and his words into your life. You have to present your body to God, a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice means you might have to do it even if you don't want to do it. You understand? Anyway, so let me pray for you. Holy Ghost, I thank you that these people are blessed. I thank you that they've heard this word. I ask you to fill them anew, that they may speak, and their utterance and their articulation would not stop where it was, but would continue on to take them to a greater and greater place in the mysteries of God and the glories of God, and let it be manifest on them, in them, and around them. In Jesus' name, I worship you, Holy Ghost. You are God in the earth today.
He's a living personality. He walks and talks with you and me. He speaks the word, sets you free. Is my new reality. Personality, he walks and talks with you and me. He speaks the word, sets you free. It's my new reality. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all.
He is Lord over my body.
He's Lord of all.
Lord over my mind.
He's Lord of all.
He is Lord over my finances.
Lord of all.
I'll make him Lord all of the time. He's a living personality. He walks and he talks with you and me. He speaks the word, sets you free. He is my new reality. Personality. He walks and he talks with you and me. He speaks the word, sets you free. He is my new reality.